Welcome to Nerds Podcast number 768. What's going on with the corkboard? Well, here we go. I got something.
What you got? What you got?
So, when I went to UCLA,
yeah,
and I was in this group, the UCLA Comedy Club, which was basically a group
out.
Of young stand-ups, and we all met once a week and helped each other write material, and then we'd go perform in the dorms and stuff. That's how I met Mike Furman.
Ooh.
My best friend, Mike Furman. My friend Steve Callahan was president when I was
there. He works for Family Guy.
He is now an executive producer on Family Guy. Our other friend Pat Megan also writes for Family Guy. And then one of my other friends is a guy named Chris Plain. And Chris has written an epic fantasy sci-fi novel series, actually.
Oh.
So he's written the first of 7 books.
That's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books. But it's called Whispers of Fate. It's on Amazon. And pick it up. He said he spent 5 years writing the first one. Hopefully it doesn't
Jesus
take him
Christ.
5 years to
you
write each one.
You gotta build that universe.
But Chris is a great guy, and I adore him.
Is there a fun, like, Stand By Me image of all of you guys somewhere? Because I feel like that might burn the internet.
Somewhere like, there
just,
is.
That'd be amazing. Just
somewhere there's an image of us doing a parody of the old Calvin Klein ads, where it was just like all the hair on
I'm glad that it's not
models.
Dated at all, and it'll still feel relevant. That's better than all of you guys just standing and smiling. I'm glad you were clever.
Somewhere there's pictures of us. I don't know where those pictures are, though. I don't know if it's in a UCLA yearbook or if, you know, the guy that would have those pictures would be Steve Callahan, because Steve keeps amazing files and notes on everything. So
I would love to see the photo just to see all of you guys just fresh faced.
Dorks.
Let's all get funny.
Whispers of Fate on Amazon now by Christopher Alan Plain. What do you got, Kyle?
I got nerd quilts.
Good.
I was actually thinking about it because I was sitting on the chair back there where we have a nice nerd-themed blanket, and I was like, more people should have soft things with Doctor Who, Sherlock, and Walking Dead logos on them. So it's on Etsy. It is just search My Nerd Quilt, and then there are My Nerd Quilts at My Nerd Quilts on Twitter. You can see their goods on Instagram at @my_nerd_quilt, and they got some cool stuff. I really like the Walking Dead blankets they've got, and I might get one for my aunt, so I hope she's not listening.
Fantastic. This episode is Fred Savage, who's so goddamn funny.
He is a silly man.
Well, he's really nice, and we became pals when he was directing Garfunkel and Oates, and he directed their TV show.
He also, I didn't realize, had directed a billion Always Sunny in Philadelphia episodes.
He's directed a ton of stuff.
Once I started noticing, like, he's directed everything out there.
Well, now he's on The Grindr, which is Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. on Fox.
I mean, aren't we all on The Grindr, secretly?
But wait, that's an app and not the show, The Grindr.
Are you telling me that Scruffy Host 69 was not you messaging me?
I'm not saying...
You did call me Kyle.
Well, I...
And then said, don't turn me into a fountain.
I mean, I just, you know, I wanted a random encounter that also felt familiar at the same time.
Oh, it's like the Pina Colada song. It's a lot of fun. We walk in and it's crazy.
That's why I was Rupert Holmes 99 on took a second. That was a slow burn. But anyway, Fred Savage was fucking delightful on this podcast. He was one of those guys that immediately just clicked in with everyone and could just be sitting in on most of the episodes. Now, here is the episode number 768 with Fred Savage. Katie! Katie?
Yeah?
Could you do me a favor?
Sure, what's up?
Well, this is the beginning of the podcast episode, and we've just done the intro.
Mm-hmm.
So will you... I'm really embarrassed to ask this. Is there any way I could convince you to start the thing?
Okay.
That went well.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Savage is walking down the hallway. His footsteps get closer. Fred Savage has entered the room. Fred Savage is now taking his position in the chair, approaching the microphone. What will his first words be? The world awaits. We now turn it over to Fred Savage.
good evening.
Wow.
I'm the internet. How does he know I'm listening to it in the evening? Maybe I'm a morning podcast listener. God damn it, Fred Savage.
Well, that's right. I shouldn't give it a specific time or date stamp, right?
I want to tell you something. This is your time. You give out whatever the fuck you want.
Social security numbers are great.
Your address. Pin codes?
Any pins that you want to give out?
Wi-Fi network, passwords.
Yeah, email passwords. Just anything. Let it all go. Jason Hervey's address.
Oh, well, he's got a sprawling place, actually, in Mississippi.
Did he move to Mississippi?
Yeah.
Hervey's mom was one of my first managers. Yes, Marsha Hervey and Scott Grimes' mom,
the best. And Pam.
Hervey Grimes.
Yeah, they still have their agency.
Amazing. You know what freaked me out is that there was this, at Talking Dead one week last year, this redheaded girl was there. And
that's creepy.
Of course.
And I was
I mean,
like,
first of all, that's a story. Redheads are.
And I go, and someone introduced me to her as Cameron. And I go, oh, you look like my friend Scott Grimes' sister. And she was like, yeah,
she's
Heather's my mom. And I'm like, oh, my God. Because I remember when Cameron was born. And
oh
now she's
God.
Like a walking around adult and she's on a soap opera. And it freaked me out.
That's amazing.
I mean, very, very sweet. I love the Grimeses and the Herbies.
Hervey Grimes, good shop, great people. When I'm casting shows and it's a Hervey Grimes client, I know they're gonna be good.
They're very cool. They gave me a chance before I was doing anything.
And that's who you remember.
I never worked for them one time. No, I didn't book anything.
But that's who you remember. The people who for no good reason, like, you know. Gave you a chance.
And then they put me in Ernie Lively's acting class. Do you remember Ernie?
No, but I know that the Lively, you know, it was
Blake Lively's father and
right.
Robin and Laurie.
No, but Robin Lively, growing up, Robin Lively was like, that was, it took me so long to put it together that Blake was her sister.
Yeah.
Because like Teen Witch was like the best ever.
She did the rap recently in something, but I can't remember.
She did?
Yes.
Oh, like someone coaxed her to do
it? It was at Blake's wedding. I think she did it at Blake's wedding.
No way.
And I'm positive it's on the internet somewhere.
Well,
it has to be.
Can you excuse me real quick? Is it bad form for me to look that up?
Oh, wait. How was it?
It was fantastic.
Did you recite it along the way?
I mean, I felt like it all came rushing back. It all came rushing back.
Of course you want to do it now, right?
I felt like I was at the wedding. And I feel like you were you there? Because you
course,
brought it up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I took Ernie's acting class, so of course I was invited. In 1992.
All
so of
students,
course I was invited to the wedding.
That was a good year of students.
Yeah,
a good crop.
It was just the 1992 students.
The crop of 92 was a good. That was a good,
good
like
vintage.
Said, you can
good
pick
vintage.
One year.
92 was
invite
an excellent
them.
Year.
Bring them.
You know who else was in that acting class? Allison Hannigan.
Really?
Super awesome. Yeah. So many people went off to do amazing things.
You'll get there, Chris.
One of these days.
Keep plugging.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
Keep plugging.
I'm gonna stick with it, I think. I am so amazed at how and so delighted at how your career has gone all these years but I'm also curious at what point were you say all because I'm sure a lot of people know this, or maybe they don't know this, but you've been directing a shit ton of stuff for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And so why did you decide to what made you go like, I think I want to do acting again?
Nothing. I mean, I'm still not 100% sold on it. I don't know. Honestly, Nick Stoller was an executive producer on the pilot, writer and director himself.
The Grinder.
He's awesome. And so he gave me the Grinder pilot script because he was kind of shepherding that with Jared and Andy, the writers. And his daughter is in school with my daughter, and our wives are friends. And so this is how things work in show business. And so he's like, oh, read this script. I was like, oh, it's fantastic. He goes, would you want to come and talk about doing Stuart? And I was like, oh, to be in it? No, I thought you wanted me to direct it. He goes, oh, no, Jay Kasdan's going to direct it. I was like, oh, well, thank you, but I'm not doing that anymore. He goes, I know, but I just thought I'd take a shot. I'm like, no, thank you. I really appreciate it, but I'm not doing that. I'm just going to be directing. And I got home. My wife's like, I heard you didn't even go meet Nick. I guess Francesca, who's Nick's wife, called my wife.
That's how stuff really happens.
Yeah. She goes, you didn't even go meet with him? I'm like, honey, I'm not going to waste his time. Like, I felt awkward enough, like, just passing. I don't want to meet him and then pass. She goes, take the fucking meeting. Can I say that? Yes. I didn't say
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, our daughters are going to be in school together for 10 years. We got to see him every birthday party till sixth grade. Go sit, take the meeting. Have a bottle of water. Who gives a shit? Go over there. And so I was like, oh. So I called Nick. I'm like, I'll come have a meeting. Okay. He's like, all right, thank you. I said, Nick, I'm not going to do it. So do you want me to just pass now or go through the whole drama of a meeting and everything? He's like, I would be upset if you didn't at least come in and meet the team. So I was like, oh, fine. So I went and I met, you know, with Nick and Jared and Andy, the writers, and Jake, the director, and Jake's partner, Melvin. And we started talking about the show and about the character and about the script. And Jared, one of the writers, he was also an actor. And so we kind of started improvising some scenes and doing some stuff. And I left. I was like, oh, that's a pretty fun group. I enjoyed myself. It literally was just a good time. And so I was like, oh, these seem like a good group of guys to hang out with for 5 or 6 days and shoot a pilot. And then it got picked up, and now we're on the air. And by the way, I couldn't be more thrilled. Like, I know it was initially in my head. I was like, oh, it's just for a few days. It'll be fun. But I literally jumped in because I liked the guys. I felt like creatively we were on the same page. And I loved the material, and I liked the character, and I liked what we were going to do with it. And I got it. So I got in with the best of intentions. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I need a gig, or, oh, I, you know, want to – you know, we have a third kid, you know, which we do. But it wasn't like – it was literally just with the purest of hearts of like, this is a great group that I'd love to work with on a piece of material that I really like. And it's been working out so far. I can't believe it.
Well, yeah, because Rob Lowe was on like 2 months ago.
Oh, really?
And he just –
because you just called me for this like last week. And I feel like you and I have – a relationship.
We do, yeah, we do.
So,
but I mean, Rob Lowe, he's so dreamy.
Yeah,
he really is.
Right.
I mean, you just get lost in his eyes.
You do.
And
I look at him every day, and it never gets old. It never gets old.
He had the best things to say about working on it and working with you, and just said that it was such a fun. He's like, the script made me laugh out loud so many times.
Did you try and call me first? And like, I was unavailable? And well, like, well, let's get that, Rob?
You know, his...
Or...
Because Rob's like now, 50, right? And his hair is perfect.
Now I feel like this is like a pity thing. Like, oh, maybe Fred heard the Rob one.
Oh,
and is wondering.
You're the friend.
Yeah, I'm the friend. So...
We just had Mary Elizabeth Ellis on At Midnight, too.
I know. Saturday.
So,
Saturday.
We might put this up.
Okay. I mean, is William Devane in the lobby?
William
did
Devane's
I just pass him? That was he here for this?
Yeah.
All right, listen to him before Devane.
I actually had a pepper grinder on last week.
No, that. God. I mean, I understand where I am in the world.
No,
I
just.
A very real sense of myself.
I just assumed.
But
you
I just
were,
felt like you and you I, know, you know. You know, we worked together, and I was so nice to you and complimentary. We
I
had
know,
such a nice
I
time.
Know.
Oh, let's do the podcast. Yeah, yeah, you got to do the podcast. I guess you do that. I guess I'm such a fool. I'm such a fool.
Your guest today has been Fred Savage. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
As long, yeah, as long as I've been in show business, I'm always amazed at how amazed I still am by show business.
No, I'll tell you this. The reason Rob came on.
Don't.
No, I am going to tell you.
Fred. Honestly, it's going to hurt both our feelings.
It's actually not.
When you said he was older, I thought you meant and like closer to dying. I didn't know
well,
you meant
he is.
Hair. His hair.
Yeah, he has gorgeous hair. He was promoting something else, actually. He wasn't actually just promoting the grinder. He was promoting something else.
His cartoon?
He was
or Profile for Men, his skincare product.
Maybe a
book. Which is amazing.
Yes,
he's prolific. Who knows? God, how do we choose what amazing thing?
Listen,
could it have been a book?
What's your favorite Rob Lowe movie?
Okay.
Do you want to call him right now?
Yeah.
Put him on speakerphone?
I would say, I mean, the classics. I would go with the classics. You know, I would love to pull out, like, you know, class or something, but I would say,
wow, that's
I would say St. Elmo's, About Last Night, maybe has a little edge on St. Elmo's.
Yeah.
Because it was a more fun romp.
Class is a really interesting movie.
Great.
Jacqueline Bisset.
They were amazing.
Such a good movie.
Tommy Boy I liked a lot. He's funny.
Still holds up.
Yep, absolutely.
Still holds up. No, I got to meet you doing Garfunkel and Oates.
So fun.
So much fun.
Driving in here today, it was very odd. I've shot this scene.
You did, actually.
You shot this podcast.
Well, is it playing out the way? Where would you put the cameras?
I would put. No, I will say, this is not what I was expecting as a setup.
Are you a Doctor Who fan at all?
I don't watch Doctor Who.
Oh, okay. Because after I did the Garfunkel and Oates thing, I got an email from David Tennant, who was one of the doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, I've just fallen in love with the Garfunkel and Oates show, and I saw you on there, and it was great. And
let me rephrase. I love Doctor Who.
Not anymore.
Particularly the Tennant years.
Now he's on Jessica Jones.
Which, again...
Jessica Jones is fantastic.
Will be my new favorite show.
You will love it. And he is magnificent on it. But now that you're acting, is the directing thing sort of like, well, I guess I'll just put that off for now? Or
I feel like I'm currently employed on this other job. So
they gonna throw you a bone?
Are you directing any of them?
No, I don't. I don't want to. I want to just focus on acting. That's enough to keep me occupied.
How many Wonder Years episodes did you direct?
Zero.
That would have been amazing if you had directed a Wonder Years episode.
It would have been very difficult because I was a minor, so I had to go to school.
Right.
So it would be hard to direct a show. Being like, okay, guys, hold on a second. I got an algebra test. I'll be right back.
I know. I rarely ever say this, but I've never liked a human being more than Fred Savage right now.
Fred is such a wonderful guy, and I'm always because we met after we met on the Garfunkel and Oates thing.
Yeah,
and you were super nice to me there, and the set
big
was
fan.
Run
big
really
fan.
Well. And you
were
and
here
I,
for a meeting. You guys met. Here.
We had a meeting. We met here. We were talking about it. We were talking about some stuff that we might eventually do together at some point, but. I always love to see people who if you had turned out to be a huge jerk, I think people are like, well, you know, he was a child actor, I guess you can't really fault him in it.
Right.
But when I meet people who were child actors, Neil Patrick Harris is the same way, like sweetest
great
guy
dude,
in the world.
Great guy.
And I feel like it always boils down to a very simple formula. If you have nice parents, you turn out to be a nice person.
Yeah.
If you have dickhead parents, you turn out to be a dickhead person.
Which is true in life in general, not just for child actors. Right. You know what I mean? I just feel like, you know, when you are a young actor or, you know, achieved any sort of, you know, notoriety as a young person, whether it's through entertainment or acting or sports or whatever it is, it just gets magnified, you know,
the wins and losses.
But I feel like if you have – I mean, you're completely right, by the way. People ask me all the time. I'm like, yeah, it's the parents. So I really appreciate you pointing that out because my parents are the best.
Well, because the business enables people in negative ways as adults. So when you're a child and you're going through the most developmentally vulnerable and sensitive time in your life,
right.
And that's happening, and you don't really understand that the world is a series of ups and downs.
Right.
So, because you haven't really been knocked on your ass a whole lot yet.
Yeah.
So that can be a very bad thing, obviously, when you grow up.
It can be. It definitely can be. But I do think that, you know, if you have lousy parents, it's going to be hard to overcome that regardless.
And
you know?
Jason Hervey, who always played an asshole in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Is like the nicest guy.
The best guy. Great parents.
God. So you have to be dicks to your kids, though, so that it skips a generation.
I'm awful. I'm honestly, my son, I was walking out the door, and my 9-year-old, my son's like, hey, Dad, I told him I was going to do an interview. Mm-hmm. He goes, Marshawn Lynch it. Just be Marshawn Lynch. He just wanted me to give like one like monosyllabic, like, yeah. Yeah.
So is it you like being a parent?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, wow. Your kids are in school.
Yeah.
And you want to talk
about
it?
Yeah. So, but back to my being a terrible parent, I said that was a horrible idea. You're going to ruin my career. You're awful.
Yeah.
And then I sent him to his room. No dinner.
Good. No dinner. Yeah, no dinner. Good. For months.
I was like, if you're going to rep me, if you're going to be my publicist, Oliver, this advice sucks, and you need to know the difference. You can't be like, oh, good try, buddy. No. No dinner.
They need to learn now.
I did.
As a
I did.
If he's
going to
be a child publicist.
He's nine.
Hey, if
he's
you're done, a child actor, he can be a child publicist.
He's done,
he
he's done garbage.
He's
work.
Done no movies. None. Yeah. Why can't it be? You know what? That's a great point. Why can't child actors have kid agents and child publicists?
Do you think they're going to be any worse than regular agents?
No. They'll probably
work harder.
He's going to be. We could do child business managers.
They're hungrier.
They are. They're not jaded. They haven't made bad mistakes.
I want you to come in for 12, but I gotta go to class. So.
I'm gonna be napping. Till two.
You're getting paid. You're getting paid in Teddy grams and paste.
My children are great. I love my kids. I'm not a good parent, but I have the best of intentions. I do love them.
Why do you think you're not a good parent?
No, I'm.
You're
a great,
kidding.
No, I'm a good
you have
dad.
To be a great dad.
I'm a good dad. I feel like I'm a good dad. My wife thinks I'm a good dad.
Do you ever? Are your kids? Are you ever going to show sit them down and go? I'm going to show you a little program called The Wonder Years.
Oh, I mean, it's required. I'm going to show you a little something. That's everything. Yeah. Actually, my mom has started showing them the show. So they love staying at my mom's house.
I mean, that is such a huge thing for a kid. Whenever you see your parent as a child, but to get to live a separate life with
I've
your
never
dad?
Watched it with them. And they watch it. My mom shows it to them all the time. They're going through the whole series.
I would go one step further and just have Daniel Stern narrate your at your house.
I was just gonna say you should have Daniel Stern record your outgoing voicemail message.
We gotta get him on the phone. Gotta call Dan. But I don't watch with them, but they watch it with my mom. That's they watch The Grindr, although some of it's I've realized inappropriate. Like
kids have the internet now. It's
they
just
do.
Impossible to protect them from anything anymore.
Yeah.
In terms of content. Yeah, I think why even try?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not porn. I mean,
no.
It's not so bad.
It's only going to make it more mysterious and alluring if you're like, you shouldn't watch that. And they're going to be like, oh.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we deal with drugs in our house.
You just give them tons of drugs.
Yeah, just do it now.
We're going to leave.
You know, let's
around.
Forget the allure. I want you to lose the allure.
Here's a bowl of drugs. Is that how drugs
Smoke
work?
Smoke this. Smoke this.
You're going to smoke every one of these until I didn't even buy this. I know. We're just cutting out the middleman.
Yeah. It's not going well. Their teeth are falling out. It's terrible.
They'll grow. They're kids. They're They'll
children,
grow back.
Yeah.
Baby
they,
teeth.
They have
they
another set.
Baby teeth. That's what they're there for.
They have another set.
Yeah. Face is a baby meth. I think it's adorable.
That's right. We're going to start that Tumblr tonight.
It's going to be like Muppet Babies, but for meth heads.
Yeah.
It's perfect. I don't see it. You can direct it if you want to.
I would, yeah, all right, I'm in.
How was your, I mean, I assume my gut is that the experience on Wonder Years for you was probably a pretty wonderful childhood, separate family experience.
Very positive, very positive. I mean, I'll be honest, like my whole experience has been pretty good. I mean, I feel like I don't have any terrible stories or no one was awful
come
to
on
me.
Rob Reiner's a dick, right?
No, he was nice then. He was nice then. Very nice to me then.
Nice then.
but yes, The Wonder Years was a great experience and you know, very familial, you know, as you said, and very, very warm place. It was great.
And Danica, who's a fucking math genius.
Right.
Is wonderful. Like, everyone's really cool on that show.
No, everyone's great. Danica's, math genius, amazing. Written several best-selling math books for kids. It's incredible. She, created a whole, industry on her own. These math books she wrote for young kids and young girls. Josh, who played Paul, is an intellectual property attorney and just started his own firm. Jason is a producer extraordinaire, making sports videos and reality shows. He's just nonstop.
You know, you could take that speech and put over the last episode of The Wonder Years.
That's true. I should be more soulful when I do it. everyone's just great.
And I did one episode of Boy Meets World.
You did?
Your brother's show.
No way.
I did one episode, yeah, and I forgot about it. And then, like, a few years ago, it popped up on YouTube or MTV2 or something. It just started airing, and people were like, you're on Boy Meets World. There was an episode.
Well, they got to get you on the new one. They got to get you on Girl Meets World. Everyone's coming back.
Well, but it'd be weird. Because the episode was specifically that they felt that Will Friedle and I in the 90s looked very similar. We both had those white guy hair drapes.
Right.
And so Will came on an episode of Singled Out.
Yeah.
So I played myself.
Oh, you played the host.
I played myself as the host of Singled Out.
I should know this. I don't know why I'm playing.
It doesn't matter if you know this or not. But it was funny. It was funny because Jenny McCarthy turned it down.
Right.
And so in this alternate Boy Meets World Singled Out universe, I was the only host on the show, which never would have flown.
No.
And so that was funny. It was like, oh, you got the reason that people don't watch the show to be on the show. But we, yeah, there's all these pictures of us staring at each other with our hair
drapes.
Oh,
that's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
What is Ben doing?
Ben's doing Girl Meets
World. He's doing Girl Meets World now.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I mean, it just to get locked into, you know, when you grow up with people, but then you always think, oh, they're like, there's that little guy. I was like, no, right. They all have kids and their parents.
I know.
Everyone's all fucking grown up.
It's crazy. The whole thing's weird. This whole thing's weird.
That you're a grown up?
No, the whole thing we do, like on TV and coming on podcasts. This is just weird.
It is weird, but it's like... It's,
but I love it. I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's wonderful because it's mostly... If you do it properly, it should feel like you're kind of fucking around most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
I mean...
it does.
And that's why it's insane to have been so successful as a young person and then grow up with normal... Because to learn that it should be fun and it's not just a thing to satisfy your ego in any one moment is such an important...
Yeah, I think it started out when I first started. I grew up in Chicago. My mom took me to an audition one day because there was auditions at our like local community center. And so instead of going to the park that day, like my mom and her friends took me and my friends. We all went to to audition for this commercial just for fun. And so this idea of like, oh, this is all just kind of a fun, cool thing to do. That's how I got into it, and that's how it's stayed that way. I know it sounds kind of I feel like it's so Pollyannish, but it's true. Like this sense of, you know, discovery and excitement and newness and every experience from the very first job I did was a Pac-Man vitamins commercial. The very first job I did.
Is that somewhere online?
Yes, it is online, and it's amazing. my very first. I mean, and I watch it online a few times a day. And I'm like, God, it all started there. It all started there. It is online. But as far as like, we would have gotten out of it a long time ago if it was a pain in the ass or if we didn't enjoy it because it was hard. You know, my younger brothers and sisters, my mom, we would drive me downtown, you know, to Chicago, to the city.
So did your family kind of divide or did everyone move out to L.A. when you started doing Wonder?
Well, we divided and then everyone slowly came out. So my mom and I came out here and lived in the Oakwood Garden apartments.
Of course you have to live in the Oakwood.
Of course.
That's like Ellis Island for actors.
It is Ellis Island. I always refer to it as purgatory, but you're right. It is Ellis Island. It is.
It's the gateway to Hollywood.
Yes, the unwashed masses come through. Some are, selected out for, diseases and aren't allowed in. It's just like Ellis Island. You're 100% right. So I lived there with my mom from the very beginning, and then my brother and sister came out, and then slowly my dad came out. But, we all came out here. But
did you find it? Okay.
I mean, you're just in the end, right?
I'm just in the end.
Yeah.
But it's – I mean, look. I mean, that is good. That's –
I think you could have done a better read.
You know, that I got real mad at the director because he would moved on after that take. And I'm like, hey, Bob.
Come on,
man. It was Bob Richter. I said, don't bring me down here and just say, oh, let's move on.
Do you want to sell these fucking Pac-Man vitamins?
Do you want to do it right or do you want to do it fast? You choose. Because I'm here regardless. So, you know, you have me for the day. So you can wrap me now and rest on your laurels, or we can, let's see where this fucker can go. So, no, I do. It's so funny you point that out, because no one, most people look at that and say, oh, isn't that cute? But you really look at it and you're right. And you say, there was, you felt like I had more in the tank.
You know what? You probably should have taken a Pac-Man vitamin before.
And I'm not going to argue with you. I think you're absolutely right. That just seems to me like
look
a lot
at
of lost
telling him he has
potential.
More in the tank. Kid, I think you got more in the tank.
I think you got
you're
more.
Not giving 100%. You haven't learned percentages yet, but you're not giving
100%. I think you're sitting on something. But that
you're
that,
such a tiny
that launched that started it all.
When did I mean when
that, isn't that so funny? Chicago, Illinois.
When
Bob
did
Richter.
Princess Bride where was that? Was that before Wonder Years? Because you're pretty young.
Yes,
Princess
that was
Bride.
Before Wonder Years.
God damn it, that movie still holds up.
I know.
As
I know.
One of the most quotable
people love it. I just heard a clip on the radio this morning of Ted Cruz saying it was his favorite movie and quoting it at a rally in Iowa, quoting like the Humperdinck.
Really?
And I was driving
so
in the car,
sorry.
And I'm like, that's crazy that it's made its way into like political discourse.
Mr. Trump, my name is Inigo Montoya. Mm-hmm. You killed my brother. Prepare to die.
But no, it people love. I mean, it's that movie has really endured. It's pretty incredible.
It really. I mean, it's such a beautiful story, but it's also, it's such an amazing cast.
The cast is incredible. I mean, even then when we did it, I was, my parents and I were like, this is a pretty amazing group of people. And since then, what they've, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible.
I mean, Peter Falk.
Peter
Falk. Did you ask him a Columbo stories?
Peter Falk was so, that's the only guy I worked with.
Right.
You know, everyone, the movie was done. This our part was the last part that they shot. And, he was so warm and nice. And I would see him years later, you know, when the Wonder Years was on ABC. And for a while, they were redoing – they did these Columbo specials.
Yeah.
You know, after this – long after the series, they did specials, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. So I would see him at a lot of ABC functions, you know, upfronts and things like that. And he was always so nice, so warm, just great, great guy.
I mean, it's nice. I mean, it's been a really – to navigate this business is a really difficult. Even as an adult, it can be a challenging thing.
Yeah.
But for you as the director or the star of a show, I think you probably understand that it is your responsibility to set the tone for a set. And it was so the tone that you set on the Garfunkel and Oates show was so upbeat and positive and super like. We're having fun. We're just doing this. It's silly that we get to do. I mean, it was such a good. It was such a good vibe.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's not. You know, it's not always the case. I mean, it's a stressful position. You know, directing a show. So I'm glad it was good. Sometimes I'm better at it than other times. But I'm glad that was good.
Was there a period where you felt like you had to establish yourself as a grown up? In some way, you felt like, oh, I don't want to always just be the Wonder Years guy. Or there,
I mean, I didn't do that. Like that wasn't an intention. That wasn't a goal. Like, oh, I'm going to separate myself from the Wonder Years. Like that wasn't like all the decisions I've made were always kind of towards something rather than away from something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I always wanted to be a director. And since I was a kid on the Wonder Years, I wanted to direct. I was interested in the camera and the mechanics of it and it was just kind of a cool piece of equipment when I was young. And then as I got a little older, I was so interested in the creative decisions directors would make and, you know, how putting a camera in one part of the room would give you a different vibe than another part of the room and how storytelling and mood and tone was affected by camera position and movement. And I just was very interested in that. So it was never really a move away from, oh, I want to establish myself as something other than, you know, Kevin Arnold or being on the Wonder Years. And it was more a move towards what I always wanted to do, what always held this allure to me when I was a kid.
And what was your first directing job?
My first directing job was a show I was on called Working.
Oh, Working. Yeah, Working was
a great
show.
Working?
Of course I remember Working.
It was a show for NBC. It was pretty funny. But we at the time, I thought we came and went pretty quickly. But now, in the days of like getting canceled after two episodes, we did like 40 of them.
Seasons, right?
We did like a season and a half.
Yeah.
Has anything been canceled this season? Yet? I think it's like one show. It's been amazing.
Oh, how fast?
No, how slow. This is the longest since like 1967 that the slate has lived.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe their networks are just like, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Just leave something on and maybe people will start.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that's true. Like, I think what constitutes a hit or not a hit, it's so hard to tell.
I mean, imagine if the Grindr was getting the Wonder Years numbers. Fox would be like, well, we did it.
Oh, yeah.
Close
mean,
up shop.
You're picked up forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when the Wonder Years was starting, Fox was just getting started. I mean, just getting warmed up. So, you know, if you weren't getting, like, if your share number wasn't like, you know, high 20s, like you were not pulling your weight. there were three networks. So if like 10% of the audience was watching you, you were done. No chance. So I think those shows, those audiences just aren't.
Well, it's unfair. The story of this metric of relying heavily on what one Nielsen number says is like, but that's not the whole story anymore.
Now there's Live Plus 3 and Live Plus 7, and then there's all the impressions on the network's websites.
Plus 3 and Plus 7 are days. It's like it's how many people have watched within 3 days, 7 days.
Yes, but then there's all other – those are still Nielsen numbers. Then there's all these other numbers about who watched on Hulu and on like the Fox site or the CBS site or the NBC site. So I don't know. I mean, honestly – as it pertains to the Grindr, like I think we're making a good show, and that's really all we can do. And then come on your fine podcast and collect the millions of viewers that will come pouring in.
Yeah,
the Nerdist.
Accurate number.
The Nerdist listener. Millions.
You're gonna get the Nerdist bump. Millions.
Yeah.
Millions of people.
Yeah. I think if we can get. Like from this podcast, I'm counting on at least like a million people.
That's a safe estimate,
right?
I guarantee all of that.
Yeah,
100%.
That will triple our audience.
I think so.
Just that million. No, but I mean, all you can do is try and make a good show, and then hopefully through the machine of whatever publicity and the show and the network and somehow try and draw an audience. And I think particularly comedies are slow builds. I think I've always felt that drama is very universal. You know, like if a dog gets run over by a car, like that is sad to everybody.
Right.
Like that's awful. Right. Like if a kid gets kidnapped,
everyone's if a dog gets run over by a clown car,
hysterical.
Really funny.
But so I feel like what's dramatic is universal.
Right.
But what's funny is really personal.
Of course.
Really individual. So I feel like all the comedies that I've really loved that have been on network television, over the past several years have all been slow builds. You know, whether it's Parks and Rec or 30 Rock or even shows like How I Met Your Mother, or Big Bang. Like these big shows, they're all such slow builds. The Office similarly. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, all these terrific comedies are just very slow building. And hopefully, we've got a lot of good vibes. People seem to like the show. People think it's funny and think it's kind of different, which is great. And so you just try and stay on long enough to hopefully have some kind of critical mass, I guess.
But the thing that I think is good for you is no matter how long the show stays on, I'll go do something else I enjoy, or I'll go direct more, or I'll go I feel like it's a good place to be.
Yeah, I still want this to succeed. I still want to do, I still want it to do well. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to know that, there's other, I do a lot of directing. I do commercial directing. I do, a bunch of voice work. The lights are going to stay on at the Savage House.
Right.
Right. I mean, don't worry.
Your kid's got that sweet PR company.
Yeah. Well, that alone, I think, is going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine, But I want this to, be successful. And I feel like you can be, I think it's nice not to have to be so precious. Do you know what I mean? I feel like sometimes And I say this to like actors sometimes when like they Lenny something, like they just love it to death and they just hold it so preciously and then they just crush it and kill it.
Right.
You know? And I feel like that can happen so many times, you know? And I feel like this show, I feel like all of us, you know, myself, Rob, Mary Elizabeth, the guys who wrote, the guys who created it, Jake, we all came to the show. Like Rob didn't really, you know, Mary Elizabeth sold a pilot. She didn't want to come do a show, but she's like, oh, why not? It sounds like fun. Same with Bill Devane's raising polo horses in Palm Springs. She didn't want to come do a show. He's like, ah, whatever. Well, why not? And I feel like we all kind of came to this because we really believed in it and wanted to be a part of something that made us all excited. So I think there's a real – there's both a lack of preciousness, but also we've all come into it with the best of intentions. We all just – we're really excited by each other's involvement and by the script, and we just kind of believe in the show and want it to be great. So I think that the fact that we're all kind of here not desperately, you know, is better for everybody.
God, it's such a bad place to be. It's such a bad place to be.
Being so overly precious.
That's sort of like, oh my God, I really need this. I really need it. Like, it's the worst. You feel bad. You don't enjoy any of it. You sort of like your mood depends on how the swinging,
and you're also afraid to take risks, and you're afraid to be bold, and you're afraid to be different, and you're afraid to fail, which, you know, especially doing comedy or the kind of comedy I like, you need to kind of take big swings and be a little ridiculous and potentially fall on your face. Because I think the audience that we want, you know, we are looking for people who like comedy, you know, who get comedy and who know it and appreciate good comedy, and those people also recognize, you know, bad comedy. And I feel like, you know, if you do kind of the tried and true and the same thing that's worked in the past, people kind of smell a rat. But if you want to try and do something different and be a little unique and bring something new to the table, You have to be afraid. You can't be afraid to take a risk,
right?
And to do something silly, and that's where the best stuff comes from. So yeah, that lack of preciousness is also, I guess, you can also say it's a lack of fear. You know, we all want it to be great, but we're not too afraid that we're not gonna, you know, take a risk.
And weirdly, it's counterintuitive because it's riskier to not try new things,
totally.
Even though your brain,
yes,
your brain is like, oh, I don't know, you know.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it is. But you know, but you also look at TV and you see, like, you see there, you know, you need to appeal to a really, especially on broadcast television, you need to appeal to a big audience, you know, ideally.
Well, network does for
yeah.
sure.
And so I think to some extent, you know, things can get watered down, which is why I think there's such great comedy, being done elsewhere. You know, whether it's, you know, Broad City or, you know, Kroll Show, or Drunk History. I mean, there's such great, innovative comedy.
You're just talking about Comedy Central.
Huh?
You're just talking about Comedy Central.
Did I just say Comedy Central shows?
At Midnight. Yes, Fred, at Midnight
there's
as well.
At Midnight. Is that on still?
You son of a bitch.
What is that? That's
how dare you come into my house?
No, we got a big push coming. We're hired
on.
No,
there's Key and Peele. Oh, shit. That's Comedy Central, too. God damn it.
Well, there really is only one comedy channel on all of television now.
And the name is right in the title, which makes
they
it
tell
so
you
easy.
Right there. Yeah.
No, but my point is that, you know, there are bigger risks being taken elsewhere on comedy. And if you want to, you know, for comedy, and if you want to make a name for yourself, especially on network TV, I think, you know, we want to, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down swinging, you know, and trying to do something different. And at the end of the day, all you can control is the quality of the work and hopefully you can be proud of it. And so far, we've had the best of both worlds. You know, the audience is starting to find us. You know, it's growing every week, which is fantastic. And we're proud of the show. So, I mean, right now we're in a great position.
Are you going to go direct something on your next break?
Yeah, there's a movie that I'm going to do, hopefully, over the break.
Do you want me to be in it?
Are you available? You have so much going on.
I do.
I wouldn't even inquire about you. I just. It's funny you mentioned this. I was just at a meeting with some agents, and I was like, "What do you think about, you know, don't even mention Chris Hardwick. There's not even. Don't even.
This didn't happen.
Yeah. Don't even. It's not possible.
That's you're doing a bit.
He's got so much going on.
Oh, that was your agents, Chris.
They said,
when they go, don't even mention. You're like, I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Okay. We just want to make sure you weren't going to mention.
Right. And I was like, but don't you represent him?
And we can't even talk about him.
Yeah, they said, we can't. I said, but that seems like an odd way. Like, I know, but that's how we do it.
He who must not be named.
If we mention him, it pulls a little life force out of him, and he's very busy.
Yeah, you can't sell. So anyway, I don't want to take this. You got an empire to run.
Stop.
I'm just a man with a dream and a
camera.
How
did you know he's the new showrunner for Empire?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
No, you are.
It was weird that I took it over, but I was like, you know.
They
got some great stories for Lucius.
I love Empire.
It's great.
But they're lacking a white male voice on that show.
I think that's what television needs. We need more of.
Right?
White
I mean,
male
who's
going to
stand up for us?
Who's going to stand up for. Who's going to bring the white man's voice? Chris Hardwick.
On to television. No, don't pin that on me.
Yeah.
No. Don't pin that on me.
No.
No, the bit.
Fred's right.
People are going to take the bit for serious.
No, you're the white man.
Disclaimer. Yes, Chris Hardwick is technically white. He does not wish
his
perspective.
Looking
on
around,
Empire.
You are the whitest guy in the room.
That is true. Kyle's pretty white, though.
No, you're.
Shit.
Yeah, you're wearing a suit right now.
At two,
which is exactly what the man would wear.
No, you're right.
You're wearing a coat and a tie. And like the best part about a podcast is you can look like shit. You look fantastic.
How else can I look down upon the poor people?
I mean, you look amazing.
I understand, Fred.
This is a woman who works on a podcast.
She's got a sweatshirt.
Right?
Yeah.
She's always
covered
wearing,
in
she's
dog
always
hair.
Wearing her Tina Fey outfit. He's right, Katie. You could look a little nicer.
That is. To be fair, that's Kyle. Kyle sheds.
Oh, is that your hair?
Kyle sheds.
I feel like that's somehow better.
Kyle, we need to put your flea collar on, Kyle. It's time to
good.
No, okay. This week we'll do advantage.
Oh, right.
We'll just right between the shoulder blades.
So you're gonna make Empire better is basically.
Yeah,
because I feel like you turn on TV, you see Empire, you see Fresh Off the Boat.
Yep, and
you know,
and I
get
really
angry.
Feel like
right,
you see Transparent, and you're like, you know what? There's a sea change a coming.
Well,
and
what
I don't like
what
it.
I'm going to bring to Empire is soundtrack by Muse. This is going to be
that's the whitest you could come up with.
Well, how was I supposed to go country?
No, I feel like you could just like go like Smash Mouth. It's whitest.
I think if I was going to go whitest, it would probably be like Toby Keith or
sure.
I mean,
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Postal Service, you got them back
Postal
together.
Postal Service,
for this.
Yeah. We'll get Ben Gibbard on there.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's going to.
Snow Patrol's coming back.
Snow Patrol's going to be on. We're going to get some Keith Urban on there and Magic by David Blaine.
Right. Right.
So all of a sudden, there's some trouble at the label. Dave Matthews takes over.
I think that's what's missing. I don't know how we got on this. But you're the future
of television.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the future.
Buy some stock in white men, ladies and gentlemen. It's going up.
Yeah, no, I think there's a downswing right now. But
yeah.
I feel like
no, it's a
long-term hold.
Buy
while it's low. Our stock is low right now, guys. But we're going to hang in there. Mm-hmm.
Good times are right around the corner.
We suck right now, but in a couple of years, who knows what could happen?
We'll be the denim jackets of
sorry about
of
Trump
society, shunned, but you know what? Kept in a closet.
People see white people in pictures from old pictures. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, remember when those were trendy? That looked terrible." Mom, you dated a white guy. It was a phase.
And then people just start hiring us to be ironic. We got this show. We're going to put white people in it.
We
just
deserve it.
Why not, right? Fuck everybody. Put some white folks in there.
That would be fair. That would only be fair if that were the case.
And what's the scene. White people are terrible.
What's the movie you're working on?
It's very early. It's this movie called Situation Comedy that Kat Vasco.
It's very early. You're shooting soon.
Well, very preliminary. We're not shooting that soon. I don't know. June, maybe. I don't know. I feel like movies take a long time. We'll see.
Longer than television, for sure.
Very. Yeah. And also, you know, television, and I'm learning this, I was attached to another movie that never really got going. And, you know, TV, like, there's a mechanism. Like, TV, like, it's going.
It has
to go. You
know
what I mean? Like, when you do a pilot or you're doing a show, like, it's happening. The wheels are turning. And movies, you know, and I know this sounds like, oh, of course, but I'm just kind of realizing it now. You know, to get it from, like, from nothing to something is really hard. Like when I even the earliest days of getting on a TV show, you know, Garfunkel and Oates, or if I'm doing a pilot or something like that, it's at least going at like 10 miles an hour, and then you can get it up to 60 or get it up to 100, whatever right. you have to do. But to get it from 0 to 10 is a real bear.
That's why you're doing Princess Bride 2, Inconceivable.
That's right.
Which you're going to be reading a story to your son.
I'm the grandfather reading to my son.
Well, it's not your son. It's your adopted son because you couldn't conceive. That's why it's called Inconceivable.
Right.
So it's about your struggles meaning. With no. your wife trying to conceive a baby.
The illness that I was suffering during the original Princess Bride rendered me sterile.
Yes, exactly.
Long-term illness? It was,
well, I mean...
No, it just like... You know,
the effects were long-term. Yeah. I mean, I recovered,
yeah.
but sterility
led a healthy
stayed
life,
with me.
But...
Yeah.
Nothing in the tank.
Nothing in the tank.
You have a child that had progeria, so it looked like Wallace Shawn.
Right.
And so he says inconceivable a lot, but you're also... You adopt...
The story of that kid in the bed.
It's going to be great. Robin Wright Penn, now played by Selena Gomez.
Right.
And...
Let's cast it.
Okay. Let's cast it. Dwayne Johnson as what replaces Andre the Giant.
Right. That's good. That's good.
That's actually a good casting choice.
Uh-huh. That's a good...
I'd go Dave Bautista.
You'd go Bautista?
Yeah.
Okay. Bautista.
I thought you were going to go another way, you know, and do like, you know, Ronda Rousey and just like stand, like make her big.
You yeah. could make – well, no. Inigo Montoya now would have
to... Because you got to reimagine now. You know, you got to reimagine. You can't just... So you can't just cast another white guy.
That's true.
Right.
You got to reimagine it.
I mean, all those people you just fired off of Empire need work.
Matt, I'm trying to...
Terrence Howard.
Bring a new perspective.
Terrence Howard would be great in The Princess Bride. With his new math.
I would say...
Oh, yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Or
oh, man, he's great.
Or did you see Creed?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's amazing.
Looks amazing.
Everyone says it's great.
It came out of nowhere. Like, holy shit.
I'm getting screeners now. No, do you get screeners? Do you watch screeners?
How are you only getting them now?
No. I mean, like, this time of year.
Oh.
It's the season.
Like, wait
they
a
overlooked
second.
Fred for
yeah,
Fred,
the
decades.
Season.
Fred, I think your son's been hoarding them.
You know, that little kid.
he loves a good Sony Picture Classic.
He does.
Bridge of Spies, Dad.
He does. They made the sequel... For the second, they made the second Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yes,
for my son.
He's that powerful.
He watched the first one and he goes,
"Okay,
there's just not enough Dame Judy."
Yeah, so more.
You know, I'd like a hotel slightly worse than this one. Mm-hmm. Let's make it the second best Exotic Marigold.
What did you? What did you get?
What came in today? There's movies I haven't heard of.
A lot of
Justice.
Those
is there a movie Justice?
I have that one.
Yeah, what is
yeah,
that?
I don't know.
Yeah. There's movies I put in just on the title, like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
In the vein of Creed, Justice is about the son of Jackie Gleason's character, Buford T. Justice, in Smokey and the Bandit. I couldn't get through the bit. I'm sorry. I knew no one was,
I was
be
in.
On board
I was
for
in.
That one.
I'm watching that.
I knew no one was on board for that. Yeah. Oh, ow.
I would watch it.
Oh,
I would watch it.
I need to get on the foam roller. Got to work the kink out. I think my spine's a little. Yeah. I don't think I haven't gotten screeners in ages. I don't know why. But I never really.
Well, sign up. You got to just sign up on the. Just, you know, sign up.
I don't know if I.
Are you in like.
What's that website?
The guilds? Like.
Yeah, but I don't know. I there was a period of time.
Are you in the Writers Guild? That's the Writers Guild. They don't. This is the most inside douchebag conversation. Never mind. No one wants to hear.
I'm in the Writers Guild.
You
in the Guild? About it.
No one wants to hear about
Let's
this.
Talk about
this
it.
Listen,
this is not related.
Do you talk about
market
about,
research
talk
shows
about
that kids
tiny
love
scripts?
To hear about entertainment guilds.
So,
we'll talk about this one, then we'll do IATSE.
All right. So the IATSE guy, the Dolly Grips, they get just ball bearings. No, the Writers Guild. You don't get movies. You get the screenplay. You just get. Homework.
Well, they're sending them like they sent like the other day. I got Beasts of No Nation. Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah,
that came with the screenplay.
I want to see that so bad. And I watched the first. Like I started to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even get through the. I was like,
You can't take it right
I
now.
I can't.
It's brutal.
I literally didn't even get through like the first 2 minutes.
It would be very different if Chris took over.
Nope.
Matt?
Be the beasts of Wyoming.
Not true, Matt.
It'll just be about elk.
At Matt Myra on Twitter.
It would just be the Leonardo DiCaprio movie that's coming out. Where
at Matt Myra on Twitter.
What is that movie called? That looks really good.
The Revenant.
Yes.
Oh, that is a movie title.
Which is not Ravenous, which is the movie. I just remember the trailer where the guy yells, "He was licking me." Yeah. It's about people eating people.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I remember that. Do you guys, do you like horror movies?
No. I don't like horror movies.
Is that, but was Beast of No Nation, was it just really brutal?
It just was
no, it's a brutal,
it's
right
a brutal,
from the get-go.
It's
about a warlord.
Like, no, I know what it's about, but no, like but right like, from like, the get-go.
It's not a horror movie. It is.
It is. It's real horror.
It's real.
Atrocities.
Like, I mean, children, things happening to children, it's just too, I can't.
Oliver loves it, though.
Who's Oliver?
Your son?
Oh, my son Oliver?
Yeah, he loves it.
He loves
his favorite movie. He brought it in for show and tell.
He said they didn't go far enough. He felt like they pulled.
They had more in the tank.
They had more in the tank. Yeah. Like, you know, he felt like there was a lot more cruelty that could have been inflicted on those kids.
I'm a kid. I'm not offended. All right, let's just take it down. Please.
He's like, I can say that. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
I can say it. You can't say that, Dad. You can't say it, but I can say it.
I'm a kid.
Yeah. You can't. I can say that.
Where's my fucking orange juice?
Oh, my kids are great. I love my kids.
What do you guys watch together? What do you watch with your kids?
Girl Meets World.
We watch a lot of Girl Meets. They love Girl Meets World. They love The Grindr. Mostly just things the savages are in. Which, incidentally, takes up a lot of time.
Is it any savage, like Savage Steve Holland movies, Macho Man Randy Savage, Adam Savage from MythBusters,
right?
My friend Andrea Savage,
yeah, all that. Oh, they love it all. They love any savage, any savage. Savage Garden videos.
They love all
anything with the savage in it.
It'd be amazing if that was a rule. It was like you can watch anything you want as long as there's a savage in it somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like
again doesn't leave time for a lot else. I'm not gonna lie.
No, that populates an entire lifetime.
Absolutely.
I feel like someday when I have a kid, I will institute weird rules like that. Okay, this week you can only watch things that begin with the letter K.
Yeah.
Just to see what happens, because they have to listen to you.
You know, my kids are in it. My daughter. This is a cool dad thing. Like my daughter's really into Supergirl. Loves
Nice.
Supergirl, which is like. I love that. Like, I feel like Allie Adler, who created that show, I know her. And I feel like that's what, like, they did that. So, like, you know, young girls would look up and be like, that's so cool. Like, she's a superhero.
Oh, that's great.
So she's into that. I mean, look, when they said Supergirl's coming out, I'm like, oh, okay, one of those, right? But now my daughter is into it. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Do you watch it with her?
Absolutely. All the time. And then my son is big, you know, Star Wars, got our tickets, you know, really into Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Hobbit. Lord of the Rings, loves all that.
Very excited for Star Wars. It's just going to open up a whole new world.
He's really into it. He's very excited. I have a 3-year-old son. He's really into it. But we got really into the show this summer called Home Free. Anyone watch this reality show, Home Free?
No.
Oh,
is this the
fantastic
Canadian contractor whose name I can't Holmes. Mike Holmes
yes,
show.
Mike Holmes show.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Do you know him? Is he a guy?
He's Holmes on Holmes is so, a great DIY show.
Basically, it's all these families, you know, 10 like incredibly deserving families, each one with a different story, you know. They're all competing in these challenges to win a home. At the end, you win a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so each week, the challenge is they're going to renovate a house. You got to redo the floors and this. And they compete. And then whoever does the, you know, they eliminate someone. And then 9 families go on to compete for the house. What you don't know is everyone gets a house. So the team that, like, so say you go to this house and everyone renovates this house. The team that gets eliminated, all the people that stay on, get on a bus and go off to, you know, stay somewhere and get ready for the next challenge. The family gets eliminated, sticks around. He goes, would you like to meet the deserving family who you built this house for? And they're like, yeah, I mean, we're so bummed we got eliminated, but that would be nice, you know, if we could meet the people who get this house. And they walk in and it's a photo of them. And they start crying. It's amazing.
Those people look just like us. Why couldn't it be us?
That seems cruel.
Honey, we have to murder them.
This is a beautiful show. I spent way too much time explaining it.
So no, everyone gets a house?
Everyone gets a house.
So nothing is at stake,
no
really.
No one loses.
Well,
but there's still the spirit of competition because they think.
They think. So they're really competing hard.
How many seasons of that show could they do?
Just the one, I think. I don't think it has legs. I don't think it has legs.
In season two, everyone's going to know, like, well.
Yeah, I'm going to dog it. Fuck it. I'm going to win this house. You sand the floors. Mike Holmes on Holmes.
Well, no thanks, Miyagi.
Yeah. No, it doesn't have legs. But it was great. Yeah. Me and my kids really got into that.
What channel is that on?
That was on Fox.
Honestly, tear jerker.
Tear jerker. MasterChef.
I mean, we would be like bawling every episode. Mostly just me, but
so
it was
what?
Very
so the people who, what are the people who stay on at the end? Do they win an extra big house?
They win the best house.
The best house.
Yeah, they win the best house.
Oh, that I wonder if anyone's ever bummed. They're like, oh, we won the crappy house.
No, but they're not crappy because Holmes knows.
They
he
all
knows.
Worked. Yeah,
how to make a home.
They all worked on them.
Oh, I would just hear these stories about people who would go on game shows, thinking that, you know, games like. Deal or No Deal.
Yeah,
sure.
Where they would win, you know, like $100,000 and be backstage crying because they were like, oh, we thought we were going to win $800,000 and we already spent the money. Like, you what?
Oh, that's bad accounting.
Is that a thing that the people would do?
That's what I heard.
That's amazing.
I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I heard.
And that's like me rolling into Vegas in an Aston Martin because I'm assuming I'm going to win enough to buy an
that
Aston
Martin.
That
is something you would do.
Well. Not anymore. I'm married.
That's good for you. Yeah.
No, it's
that's
great.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, are you off right now? You're off.
We're off. We're off this week. And then we come back for two more. And we're off for the holidays. But we got picked up for the back nine. So we're going to be shooting till March, and then we'll see.
You're going to do a movie in June.
We're going to do a movie in June. Then I'm going to take a little vacation with the family. The show's going to run forever. That's so fantastic. I mean. I don't know, I'll go to the Aston Martin dealership.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I'll go buy a couple of cars on the come.
I'll tell you what the best thing to
what
do
can
is
go wrong.
That show's not getting canceled.
Standing
ever.
On the precipice of the back nine is where you really want to start buying extra luxury cars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that means it's gonna go forever.
It's funny. I you park in the garage at Fox, where we shoot. And you know, we're parked amongst the cast of a lot of shows, you know? And you know who the pros are
right.
versus who the new kids are. Because I'm not going to say any shows, but there was a show that's, you know, pretty new. You know, everyone's got, you know, like the Fresh Off the Boat gang, they got their old beaters. Like, mm-hmm. they know what's
yeah.
up. You know, they're pros, right?
Yeah.
I know Randall Park a little bit. He's a pro, you know? But there's some other shows, you know, like brand new show, and you see there's shiny new cars. Someone's like, I got it. I got a show. I'm going to the dealership. I'm doubling down.
Oh, boy.
I'm getting something sweet. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Right? I know.
You could just cancel a show in the middle of a... No.
Wait. But there's a contract.
You said...
I can't cancel the contract. You can...
I read that wrong. See, when I signed this 6-year deal, I thought I would be...
I thought that... I got to keep my receipts.
That just means that you own me for 6 years. So if I were to have, say, gone off-roading with this Porsche, I could just give it back and get all the money back.
You have a Porsche now.
Fuck.
And that's it.
No.
That's my favorite. Like, I love driving around Los Angeles and you see the guys that, like, bought the Porsche in, like, 1990.
Uh-huh.
And they're still driving that Porsche.
Oh,
stuck with it. I haven't worked since.
Your assets are frozen in your success, and that can be very time-stamped. So you can see, like,
the good year.
You see the good year. Like, oh, 94 was a really big year for that guy.
It's an expensive
just
night.
Sort of like,
I know. Yeah. I know.
That's why you
But I'm sure everyone's going to be very successful and great, and it's going to be terrific.
And it's a great idea. Always buy the best car you can the second you get money.
Bet on yourself. That's what my wife always says. Bet on yourself, honey. Bet on yourself.
What about the kids? Fuck them.
No.
They got their own thing.
They're going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. Don't worry about them. You get your nice car.
Yeah. Bet on yourself. My wife really believes in me. She's a real champion.
She does?
Yeah, she does. It's very sweet. It's very sweet.
She yells at you for not taking meetings. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have done this show if it had not been for Jennifer.
But you need a nice person in your life that has your best
interest. I need a nice person. I need one. My wife's really nice. She's really nice. I mean, not really. I mean,
because she did yell at you.
I mean,
let's be honest.
She's kind of an asshole, but like in a cool way.
She did shame you in front of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like in a cool, like I wouldn't like, you know, like in a cool way. Like if my wife was all like, oh, hey, here's cookies. You'd be like, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
She's kind of, you know, she's kind of an asshole, but like cool.
Hey, asshole, cookies.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
She kind of threw them at me.
Yeah.
Cookies, don't eat too many.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She says that. I ride a bike, you know, uh-huh. for exercise. And, you know, and I'll be eating something. She's like, well, I don't know, honey. I'm like, what do you? I rode. She goes, a lot of fat cyclists out there. A lot of fat guys on bikes, honey. So she's not that nice, but she's
right,
awesome.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
You know, love sometimes is harsh.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love
sometimes
her.
We fucking deserve it.
Absolutely. And sometimes you need the people who love you the most to tell you that you're kind of a dick.
And if you don't, then you grow up to be the douchebag that, you know, because you didn't have someone that was constructively. There are constructive ways to do it.
It's constructive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just like throwing cigarettes at your face and going, you fucking piece of shit.
No, but it has come to that.
She doesn't even smoke. She just lights a cigarette to flick it at your head.
She lights the cigarettes just to throw them at me. I'm like, you can even take a drag on it.
I ask the questions here.
Yeah. I'm like, it'll be hotter. It'll hurt more if you just, you know, stoke it a little bit. It's gonna burn me more. But, you know.
Oh, man.
She can't be bothered to even hurt you more. Yeah. She's like, no.
I just want to humiliate you. It's fine.
Well, I'm so glad that you were able to come on, and I'm sorry it didn't happen sooner. It wasn't.
Aren't you?
Yes,
this was good.
I am.
Imagine all the fun we could have had.
I'm telling you, I feel like, you know, there.
What are you telling me?
There are a handful of people that come on. Uh-huh. I feel like I want you to come on with some regularity because you're sort of like one of us.
Do you think like that?
I do. There are some people that come on and I go, hey, they did a really great job. We haven't really had many bad experiences on this podcast at all. But there are some people that are like, oh, that was really great. But I would never think, well, that person should come back all the time. But there are some people that just naturally click with us. People like you and Jason Schwartzman. And like, there's just really cool people that just sort of click in. And you should just come back.
He's right.
Great. Can I have that seat? Do you have to be here
anymore?
You
can sit in Matt's seat.
You can take my seat. Whatever.
Can I hang out?
I'll just take your seat.
All right.
Do you want to sit in it now to see what it feels like? It's going to be warm.
Yeah, it's going to be really warm.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like you make chairs real hot.
I make lots of things real hot.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
yeah, you
what
do.
What I do?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, thank you for the Grindr is on Fox
Tuesdays at 8:30.
Tuesdays.
Although Tuesdays we're moving to 9:30 after the holidays.
Oh,
moving to 9:30. Big switch on Tuesday night. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is coming from Sunday to Tuesday. And we're going to be after Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine at 9, followed by The Grindr at 9:30.
It doesn't really work with the title, but it doesn't matter.
I wish it was Grindr 30. Or 9 Grindr.
So your show is about... Your show is about...
Grindr.
So your show is all about...
You like 9 Grindr better? The Grindr thing. Okay, yeah.
Your show is all about meeting anonymous gay men for sex.
That's
in
right.
Your area?
Well, specifically Rob Lowe. It's not anonymous. It's anonymous for he doesn't know who he's meeting up with.
But
you know,
he's a real pro.
You know you're gonna get some action with Rob.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, that's good, but Rob doesn't know.
He doesn't know who's going to be.
It's like Homes on Homes, but for a gay dating app.
That's right.
Yeah.
And everyone wins
everyone
a home.
Gets a Rob
everyone
Lowe.
Gets a Rob Lowe.
Guess whose dick you're going to suck? Guess who gets to suck Rob Lowe's dick? And then you reveal a picture of yourself, and you're like, oh, my God. And
yeah.
And then he comes in.
That's right. I couldn't have said it better. That's what we're doing every week.
Tuesdays after Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Rob Blowjob.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, it works.
That's good. Yeah, no one has sex with anybody. It's a very clean show. Very family comedy.
Family comedy.
You know, funny, irreverent, kind of a little meta.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I hope it runs forever.
I mean, I bought a lot of cars. I'm not going to lie. that guy I was talking about in my story was me.
That's okay. We knew that, though.
I have
I'm trying to make you feel
better.
You're
just trying to keep up with the cast of Empire, weren't you?
I am. And Rob. I mean, Rob's got a lot of nice shit. And so, like, everything he has, it's like the best of everything. You know, even like little meaning, like, you know, oh, Rob, can I borrow a pen? And it's just this pen made of just, it's like a quill. It's like an eagle's quill.
It's a bald eagle's quill.
It's a bald eagle feather.
It's a full eagle.
It's just an eagle. It's just an eagle.
He just writes with its claw.
You just tell the eagle what to write.
All his personal assistants are just endangered species. He's got a white rhino who drives him around.
Oh, yeah. White privilege rhino.
Yeah.
That suit looks good, but you should take it to my puffin.
Yeah. No, he's good. I hope it runs forever. Yeah, I thank you. I hope it does.
And you'll come back on in a couple months.
His accountant's a peregrine falcon. A lot of endangered species out there.
Are we just going through endangered species
yep.
now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Snow leopards? Are sure. they endangered?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of... My son has a book.
Everyone Poops?
No, it's a book about all endangered... white, you know...
Rhino?
White rhino. What do you see? I see a something looking at me, and I'm trying to think of all the different... There's a book about boa constrictor. I don't know. Whatever. We'll talk about it later. Next time. This is something for next time.
That's your homework.
We're going to figure this out right
this
now.
This is something for next time.
Could you call your wife and have her drive your son and the book over here?
Oh, my gosh. She would love it. I live, like, down the street. I live literally down. I live, like, 4 blocks from here.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm going to be here I'm going to be here a lot, even when I'm not invited.
Please do.
So I hope you meant it, because I'm going to take you up on it pretty often.
I demand that be the case. You just show up. Oh, Fred's here.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
And he's pissed. Oh, fuck. I mean, you have all the curtains drawn and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Well, that one's open. Yeah, this is a bad idea. I'm going to really start some shit up in here.
And at that moment...
You could just walk by some...
Are you narrating?
I was going to narrate.
Okay, go. End, yeah. Okay.
And at that moment, sitting there looking across from my friend Chris, I knew this would be the greatest podcast day ever. And our lives... would never be the same.
That's pretty good. That's nice. Pretty good.
Now you can fade out with the Joe Cocker song.
We can't clear that.
He's not going to know. Hey, everybody, I was just... That's my Joe Cocker. I was just listening to this fucking podcast, and I don't understand why I hear my song, but I don't see a paycheck in my fucking hand.
Then Paul McCartney calls. I wrote it. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, Paul, I was just collecting the money for you. Like, I don't... hey, man, I don't want any trouble. I just... hey, Paul. Oh, Paul, you're hurting me. Paul, let me go.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Tell me your ears and I'll sing you a song.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.